Again, it's good to be with you today. Appreciate all that have made their way here. We're fortunate that, as you heard the tornado sirens, there was, I guess, a tornado warning going on. We're fortunate that no ill harm befell anyone. Did want to mention this, that Tim had mentioned to me after service this morning that he had to be gone and absent for work tonight. I failed to mention that to Pax. He thought, though, Stacy and the children should be here, and so let's hope that they're safe on their way back home. Continue to pray for Julie. Of course, she's at home tonight. She's tired, and it's going to be harder and harder for her to get out to be with us. I was telling someone that this was the first time she's been out of the house since Monday, the last doctor visit. So we're down to weekly doctor visits now in the remaining 8 weeks. Well, we had started this morning on the subject of pertinent parenting passages, and in particular Ephesians 6 today is what we're going to be looking at, had been looking at, and we'll continue this evening. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And let's read together. Ephesians chapter 6, starting in verse 1. The Apostle Paul penned, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, for this is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." We had studied this morning that without proper love, without proper discipline, today we see a troubled generation before us. A generation of angry and bitter children. Parents have become self-centered, busy with their own enterprises, and they often just don't want the children to get in the way. That's their main goal. And so often the children are left to themselves and they're left to the chaos of divorce. Sometimes they're born illegitimately. And all of these things affect the child in a very tragic way. Criminality is on the rise because of this unloved, undisciplined, unruly, and angry generation that is before us. And against this trend stands the Word of God. It tells us how we might raise a responsible child. And it's very clear in that regard. It's not difficult to understand. In fact, I believe we can sum up from the Bible all we need to know about raising a child in just a couple of sentences. The first sentence, one, we need to teach the truth about God and His law all the time to our children. That's sentence one. The second sentence, demand that they obey that law and punish them physically when they don't. You'll notice Deuteronomy 6 is where we get the first one, Ephesians 6 the second. These two sentences sum up what the Bible teaches about raising children. Teach them the truth about God and His law all the time and demand that they obey that law and punish them physically when they do not. That is God's pattern. Our goal is to have obedient children who will honor their father and their mother. It is to them whom the blessings are promised here in Ephesians chapter 6. Now, if you won't give them these two things, then they're not going to learn self-control. They won't learn it. They won't. You may give them toys, you may give them a nice home, nice clothes, nice car seats, a nice crib, whatever it may be. But if they're missing this, right here, then they're not going to learn self-control. And then they're going to be headed on a fast track for being reprobate and headed for eternal damnation. That's how serious this is. Dear friends, time is short. Our time with them is very short. And our time to actually mold them is even shorter than that. We've got to take the admonitions of Scripture very, very seriously. So notice with me, as I mentioned this morning, we're going to dive into this text and explain it line by line. Ephesians 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice that. For this is right. That is, this is God's pattern. It's God's plan. It's right. That's in contrast to wrong. This is right. You know what's wrong? There was a foreigner who had come to our country, and he was asked about what impressed him about our country, and he said what impressed him most of all about America was how the parents were so obedient to the children. How tragic. How sad. This says in verse 1, children, obey. Why? For this is right. Well, who says? God does. That's who. This word for right in the Greek here appears 79 times in the New Testament alone. It's saying that God knows what is right. He's established what is right. And again, that is actually a major component of our problem today. You see, many parents don't know what is right. They just don't know it. They don't know it. And when parents go through maybe a university education, they're often taught there is no absolute right. There is no absolute truth. And so how can you teach what is right if you don't know what is right? All you can do is hope to keep your child from irritating you, from bugging you to death. You see, God has established what is right. And apart from God, you can't know what is right. Apart from His Word, you can't know what is right, because this is the only thing that reveals to us the mind of God. Look with me in Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13. Nehemiah 9, verse 13. Nehemiah 9:13. There it says, "You came down also on Mount Sinai and spoke with them from heaven. You gave them just ordinances and true laws," or right laws. "You gave them good statutes and commandments." God's Word is good. It is right. And Psalm 19, the 19th Psalm, verse 8. There it says, "The statutes of the Lord are right." They are right. His statutes are right. Further, in Psalm 119, verse 75, there the psalmist says, "I know, O Lord, that Your judgments are right." God's way is right. This is His pattern for children. Children obey. That's right. You see? Now, when we look at God's Word, we begin to learn that children are essentially deficient in four areas of life. Now, turn to Luke 2:52. And there you see just a brief outline of these areas. And honestly, you could do a whole sermon on this point right here, but I'll save your sermon and just throw this in as a point for this sermon. Luke 2:52. There it says, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men." So Jesus, as a little child, he grew in four areas: wisdom and stature. That means he grew mentally and physically. He grew in favor with God and man. That means he grew spiritually and socially. Those are the four categories in which children are deficient. They have to grow into them. Now, to what degree God in the flesh was deficient in these, I can't explain that. It's like trying to explain a miracle. But children are generally deficient in these. They are mentally deficient. That means they have limited knowledge. They have limited wisdom. They are physically deficient. That means they have limited strength. Spiritually deficient. They don't know God personally. And they're socially deficient. That is, that they are selfish. They are unruly. Like we said this morning, they are very good at disobedience. They have to be taught to obey. Now here's where you come in as a parent. As a parent, you have to create an environment, a context, which demands that they develop in all of these areas. That's your role. You have to develop that. Mentally, we want to stimulate them to know the truth of God. Physically, we want to nourish them so that they can grow up in stature. Socially, we want to teach them humility and how they ought to love others. And spiritually, we want to confront their errors, their wrongs, that eventually they'll learn one day as they grow that they will want to repent and become a Christian. That's what parenting is. It's teaching them about God's law all the time and punishing them physically when they won't obey it, when they won't serve it. Now, frankly, this pattern here yields marvelous results. You don't need a PhD to be able to understand it and apply it and to do it. You only have to have a PhD to figure out how to control children who aren't trained in this way. And that's what we have today. We have a whole world of psychologists and sociologists and psychiatrists trying to figure out how to gain control of a generation that's out of control. I mean, you see that they even have commercialized it now. You've got television shows, you know, what's that, Nanny 911 and Super Nanny, and that's essentially what these individuals are. You know, trying to apply worldly wisdom and how to gain control of children that are out of control. And as a consequence, we have a whole generation of disobedient children, a nation that is proud, self-centered, indulgent on their own drives and lusts and desires because they weren't reined in as a child. They weren't reined in. You know, as a child myself, I'll be honest, I was a rocket. I was going in every direction. You know, one could go, and my mom and my dad, they would have some great stories to share with you. I cost them quite a bit of money in various occasions. You know, I was a wrecking ball for antiques, Sherry. I really was. I took antiques down right and left. My parents worked very hard to harness me. They loved me, and they spanked me, and they taught me God's truth. And when I didn't abide by it, then they disciplined me. And that's how I learned self-control. And of course, they also told me, too, that they always hoped that one day I'd be repaid with a rambunctious child just like myself. And God may have been listening to that prayer. It is a sad situation in our society today. Like I said, all these psychologists, sociologists running around, trying to solve a problem that can only be solved in a home where the Word of God reigns supreme. There's no other way. Because God says, this is right. But further, in Ephesians 6, verse 2, He says to the child, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. I've got some statistics here, and they're a few years old, but the latest statistics to me said that 8 million children a year assault their parents. In an article in the Journal of Education, I quote, this teacher said, it was a disgruntled school teacher, and she was handing in her resignation. And here's what she said. In our public schools today, the teachers are afraid of the principals. The principals are afraid of the superintendents. The superintendents are afraid of the board members. The board members are afraid of the parents. And the parents are afraid of the children. And the children are afraid of nobody. This is disgusting disobedience, rank disobedience to God. It's the furthest thing from honor, what God has commanded children to do. In John chapter 8, this word for honor in Ephesians, In the Greek, it's the exact same word used over here in John chapter 8 and verse 49. In John 8, verse 49, here we have Jesus speaking. And Jesus answered and said, I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father. The exact same word in Ephesians 6. The honor that God says that I want you to do, children to your parents, is what Jesus had did for me. You honor me, just as Jesus said, I honored my Father. He lived in a way that brought glory and honor to His Father. In John 17, notice this here. John 17, verse 4, as Jesus is hours away from being taken away and scourged and beaten and then crucified, He offered a prayer. And in John 17, 4, He said, I have glorified You on the earth. That's what He did by His honor. He glorified His Father. His obedience was a reflection of His Father. And we need to teach our children this. They need to be taught this. Because they're not pre-programmed this way. And if they are not taught this, then they will erode away what little honor they did have for you. You know, let me say this too. As you raise a child, and you're consistent in this regard, there will be times where they'll fight against it more aggressively than other times. There may be even some times when they even strike you. Turn to Exodus chapter 21. Exodus 21. I want you to see what God said in the old economy about this long ago. In Exodus 21, verse 15. Exodus 21, 15. Notice what God says here. There it says, "And he who strikes his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Verse 17. "And he who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Whoa, that's some serious respect, isn't it? In the Old Testament, you hit your father or mother, you're dead. This was something very serious to God. Verse 17, he says, "You kill those children that don't respect their parents. You kill them." That's how serious it was. So how do we then ingrain honor and respect into the young heart? Well, let's turn to the book of wisdom. Turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And let's notice some passages here. Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. And you'll probably recognize this verse because it's repeated in the New Testament. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. He says, "My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest His correction. For whom the Lord loves, He corrects, just as a father the son in whom He delights." Notice how there's this comparison. There's what the Lord does, and there's what you do as a parent. And he says they're connected. They are connected. The Lord, He loves you, and therefore He chastens you. And that's a good thing. It's for your good. Hebrews later on says, as it quotes this, that it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who've been trained by it. This is for our good. And it's loving. If you truly love your child, you will discipline your child. It's an inescapable truth from Scripture. God has promised to reward obedience and to punish disobedience. And your children first learn this truth through you. That's how they first learn it. You see, you are their first authority figure. And how they learn to treat you, how they learn to respect you and obey you will be how they respond to God. It's called transference. That's what will take place. And that's why their souls depend upon this kind of raising. Reward them for obedience. And that's a motivation. We're motivated in such a way. I mean, I tell you, that's one reason why I'm here this evening is because I want to go to heaven. That's a great motivator. I want to live eternally with God forever and ever. But we also need to punish for disobedience. And that's often the place where parents fail. The first one's easy. That one just almost kind of comes naturally. The second one's hard. Because that means I got to spank my little baby. That's tough. Now I want to give you some cliff notes here on spanking. It's just some cliff notes because really, honestly, the next lesson will be totally devoted to that topic. I know that's going to be the children's favorite one. Watch it, parents. You might know if they're claiming to be a little sick next week. Listen, discipline, it first starts with the attitude, I believe. If you can catch it with the attitude, you'll stop it before it reaches the act. The attitude is so key in regards to all of this. I mean, that's what God really does for us when you think about it. We may serve God in all the right ways, have all the right doctrines and teachings, but if we don't have the right heart and the right attitude, it's worthless. We'll be as lost can be. Eternal fire awaits us if we don't have the right attitude. Attitude is important. Tell them that. Remind them that honor and respect are aspects of attitude. They are. That's why we'll say to them, now don't look at me that way. Don't use that tone of voice with me. It's because those are reflections of their heart, of their attitude, you see. Now when they do disobey, you have to punish them physically. Turn to Proverbs 10, verse 13. Proverbs 10, verse 13. Here the book of wisdom, it continues, says, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. But a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Now very simply, how do you get them to obey me? Well, bottom line, you hit them with something. Now here it's called a rod. That's what you're to do. Now you might say, Stephen, are you sure that's what that passage means? Well, think about it. What's the point in just saying, now here's your rod, take a look at it, will you obey me, please? No. You said the rod has to be applied or they won't understand. You are to use it. You are to use it. Now, notice where. Isn't it interesting that God has even told us where to apply that? He didn't say use it on the front. Not on the top. But on the back, you know, where they've been designed to be hit, essentially. I mean, sometimes we may wonder, maybe there's more back there than it's really necessary. If we can remember how we were as children, we kind of wished we had a little bit more from that burning that we received. But if we don't do this, they will not honor us. Disobedience will go unchecked and they will become ugly and rude and selfish. And like I said, more on this particular point next week. Continuing on in Ephesians 6, verse 2, there he says, this is the first commandment with promise. What does that mean? What do you mean, God, honor your father and mother, this is the first commandment? What does that mean? Well, this is the Greek word protos, and it literally means preeminent. It's not number one and number two, here's number three command is coming. It's not numeral. But it has to do with preeminent or the greatest. It's the exact same word that's used in Luke 15:22, where the story of the prodigal son has returned back home, and the father says, bring out the best robe. That's the same word. The preeminent robe. Bring that out. It's the exact same word used in Matthew 22:38, where Jesus says, in regards to us, that he says that the first commandment, he says, is to love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul. Now, when it comes to child raising, God says, this is the preeminent commandment. Now, why is that? Why isn't it the same which he gives to those of understanding and those that are older, that you ought to love God with all your heart, mind, body, and soul? The truth is, dear friends, it's because you will represent Him in the beginning of that young child's life. You see, we have an unusual relationship with our children. Now listen to these thoughts. The child's relationship with God, it is mediated through the parents. It is. That's how God designed it. Now, the child will eventually grow away from the parents and come into direct relationship with God through Christ in time. But while the little child is small, their relationship to God comes through us. And so when the child disobeys his parent, he is for all intents and purposes disobeying God. When a young person repudiates his parents, he is repudiating God. This is tremendously serious. That's why the Old Testament said when a child did that, you kill him. You put him to death. Because God is saying he's essentially doing that to me. He's doing that to me. Now by the same token, a child that will fight against his natural rebellious tendencies and will submit to his parents, he's submitting to God. It's a wonderful thing. And you ought to tell your children that. Don't just tell them, you know, you do it because I said to do it and I'm tired of telling you. Tell them, look, when you're little, when you're obeying me, you are obeying God. And God has said that will bring blessing into you in your life. And by the same token, when you are disobeying me as a little child, then you are disobeying God. You're being disrespectful to God. And you're going to bring serious judgment upon yourself. Indeed, chastening. It's a tremendous concept. Children need to understand it, that how they respond to you is how they respond to God Himself. See, it's a relationship that God has mediated through you, the parent. That's why He said, this is the preeminent commandment for children. You honor your father. You honor your mother. You do that. Now, of course we know that as they grow older, We're stepping to the back. God is always stepping to the forefront. And that there'll be that transference. That they're going to manifest their obedience to you when they're small. But as they age, remember, it's about God. And He wants that child and his soul and his heart. Continuing, we've got a few more points and then we'll close the lesson. In Ephesians 6, verse 3, there He says that it may be well with you. Speaking to the child again, and you may live long on the earth. Two things are talked about here. Essentially, quality of life and quantity of life. We want both for our kids, don't we? In fact, if our children only have one of those two, we'll be sad. We won't be very happy for it. We want them to have an experience both of those things. And so essentially, God has given us the key to happiness here on earth. Everything we've said up to this point is building that. Children, you obey. Children, because it's right, honor and respect your parents. Now, when they do these things, then this comes. There's the blessing. That's what follows. You want a full, rich, joyous, happy, peaceful, and rewarding life? Then do what God says. Do what God says. Here's that axiom. That general truth. God will reward you with a good life and He'll reward you with a long life. Isn't it nice to have that quantity as well? I've seen it. I've seen it in parents where their child dies before they do. And it brings their soul down to the ground. It hurts like nothing else. Parents want to see their children live long and to live well. You think about it though, again, when we think about our generation not being fed these precepts and teachings, they live on the edge, they live recklessly and dangerously and often die before their time. If only they knew this truth. Lastly though, in verse 4, God gives a warning. He warns the parents, "You fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord." Don't provoke them, but train them. Don't get under their skin. When you do so, you're sinking to their level. You're becoming a child like yourself. Remember, you're a trainer. You're a leader. You're to guide. And of course, that's not saying that you can't kid around and play with them, but you know when enough is enough. You're not a child. You're an adult. And you must lead. Further, this passage forbids abuse of any kind, whether it's mental, physical, or verbal. I believe perhaps that's the main reason why God singled out fathers here in this verse. Because they're the ones most likely to do that, more so than the nurturing soft, tender mother. And if you do this, Father, you will have a child grow to hate you, disdain you, and hate everything you stand for, including your God, and one day perhaps leave the church of his Lord, saying that there's only hypocrites in the church. I know because I lived with one. Is that what we want them to say? Surely not. So God is essentially warning us, don't mess up my plan by your wickedness. Remember your role. You are a trainer. You are an admonisher, which means a warner of the Lord. You do these things that we've been talking about. You do that because God wants that child back one day. He wants that child back. There's a lot there, isn't there, in these four short verses. There's a lot. But it's simple. And we can understand it. I want to close with this. The child was born on November 12, 1934. Born to 16-year-old Kathleen Maddox. He was entered into the ledgers as No Name Maddox. He was a classic child, a classic abused child, left by his mother for days during the first years of his life. In 1939, his mother was arrested for armed robbery and sentenced to 5 years in the penitentiary. When she returned, No Name was 8 years old. His life became a long line of rundown hotels and brutal uncles who came to live with his mother and drank heavily. When he was 12, his mother tried to place him in a foster home. In time, he then drifted into the life of crime. At 13, he was caught for armed robbery and sentenced to an institution from which he escaped. At 16, he had a long series of crimes under his belt. And finally, in federal prison, he was homosexually attacked and raped. A year later, at age 17, he pressed a razor blade against a fellow inmate's throat and sodomized him himself. He was transferred again and again and classified as dangerous with a long record of violent activity. Finally, at age 33, he was released from Terminal Island Prison in California against his wishes. He'd become obsessed with the satanic. He told his jailers that prison was his only home. No Name Maddox is better known as Charles Manson. Somebody's tender baby became a monster. A baby with all the rights given by God as any one of ours. A baby who these passages that we hope to help our children could have helped him. Now that's the worst case scenario. I don't think anyone's raising a Manson here. But the point is, you don't have to be a Charles Manson to go to hell. You can be a very nice, sweet, kind person of the community, but not submit to the authority of Jesus Christ, and you'll be just as lost. That's how serious our responsibility is as parents. That we teach them these truths, for they are right. Simple to understand. Can we put in a couple of sentences? Can't they? You teach your child about God and His law all the time. Make him conform to that law, and when he doesn't, punish him physically. Do all that in an environment of the sweetness of the love of Christ, and your child then will be your joy, both here in this life and one day in eternity. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, will you become one? Will you submit to the authority of Christ? Here's what God's Word says in Acts 2 and verse 38. It says, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. That is the authority of Christ. You have a choice now to submit to it. You have tonight. You may not have tomorrow. But God be thanked you have time and opportunity to hear His truth, and make a choice if you'd like to submit to it. If you're here as a Christian and you've fallen away, you need to repent or perish. Luke 13:3. In Acts chapter 8, there we learn that one that has wandered away, has gone back into sin after being baptized, can repent and pray. And they can be forgiven. It's wonderful to know that God is so eager to forgive when you're willing to repent. Won't you come, dear friend, while together we stand and sing.
Fount of every blessing, to my heart to sing.